Good morning. Numbers chapter 23, starting in verse 19. Are you ready? We're going to read the first part, just the first little phrase here. Ready? God is not a man. Ladies, you can say hallelujah. Aren't you glad God is not a man? We are ready to go now. All right, give these guys a big hand. This isn't easy to keep track of. You know, you got like 1,000 batteries floating around, and I'm grabbing them and throwing them over here and throwing them over there, and they're supposed to keep track of where they are. So it's like the poor guys, I know. They do take cash tips, I guess. All right, so Numbers 23:19. What's that first phrase again say? Does anyone have a problem with that? I mean, I think like you, people think, okay, is he getting into this liberal thing where, you know, God is a female? Let me ask you a question. Is God a female? Is God a man? Thank you. God is God. Thank you. Who said that? God is God. Sarah, thank you very much. God is God. He's not a man. He's God, right? So let's read that again. God is not a man. Someone say hallelujah. Or we're all going to say shucks and go home, right? God is not a man. I'm glad he's not a man. I don't know a man I trust with my life like this. I don't know a man I trust with my eternal security. Do you? Do you know a man who's kept every one of his promises, every single one of them? I don't. Never met one. Not on earth. Have you ever met a flawless man? How many of you women have had, you have the flawless man? Or had the flawless man. Nope, you didn't. You don't. You won't. You didn't. You don't. You won't. Joe, forget it. Joe's over there going like this. Not even letting Debbie point to him. Joe's pointing to himself. Debbie said, not a chance. God is not a man. You young ladies, if you're looking for the perfect man, you're not going to find him. You'll find a perfect God. Hopefully that man will know a perfect God. And we'll be able to relate that perfect God to you. Hello? Ladies, what do you think of that? Right. And some of you ladies may come awful close, but you're not going to get the perfect man. You're not going to have him. The perfect man was Jesus Christ. He is a standard of perfection in terms of being a man. So why am I saying this? Because the next part of the verse is, God is not a man that he should lie. Or the Son of Man, that he should change his mind. For he has said, and will he not do it? If God says it, what happens? If God speaks it, is it going to come to pass? If God predicts it, will it happen? Has God predicted some things? What kinds of things has God predicted? Let's start from the beginning. We're not going to name all the prophecies, but let's talk about a few key ones. What are some things God has predicted that have come to pass? Yes, Abraham would become a great nation. Has he? Yes. Sure. What else has God predicted? The son, right. He predicted that Eve, through her offspring, would have a son who would do what? Book of Genesis, first part. What was he going to do? bruise Satan's, no, crush Satan's head, Satan would bruise his heel. I'd rather have a bruised heel than a crushed head. Right? So, the predictions. So, has God spoken a number of things? Did God say his son would come? In Isaiah, didn't he predict that? Did he predict how he'd come? Would he be wearing in the manger, in that feed trough there? Would, he even predicted what he'd be wearing, swaddling clothes. He predicted it thousands of years before it happened. He predicted this stuff. Did you know that it was predicted? What did Jesus predict? Kind of a key event. That, a very important key event, that he'd come again. But what else did he predict? Okay, that's good. What else did he predict? Did he rise again? Thank you. First time here, the guy's nailing it. What? Yes. But is that a prediction? See, people in the back row, honestly. Have you had your coffee yet, Larry? He said it, that he'd rise again. He said he would rise from the dead. That's a pretty astounding prediction, wouldn't you say? Has anyone ever predicted that they'd rise from the dead? Houdini did. Did he? No. I'll be back. No, you won't. Jesus said he'd rise from the dead. He rose from the dead. Now, Harry made a great point here. He said he'd return. Has he? Not yet. Are we pretty sure he will? Why? Read the verse. God is not a man that he should lie. And you know, just as sure as he came the first time, he's coming the second time. So I've been thinking about the unchanging nature of God. The absolute unchanging character of God. Somebody asked me to speak on this, so I'm going to dedicate this to Casey. She asked me to talk about this. I want you to turn first to Psalm 102. We're going to read a bunch of verses. Hopefully you brought a Bible, or you have a Bible on your phone or your tablet. If you don't, I would recommend getting a Bible. If you want to know what kind of Bible you ought to get, there's a bunch of good ones. We can help you pick one out if you'd like. 102. And we're going to read in verse 25 to 27. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. That's really a great verse. They will perish, but you will what? Endure. They will grow old like a garment. Like a cloak, you will change them, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. But this is amazing. They will perish, but you will remain. God is not a man that he would perish, but that he'll remain consistent. They'll wear out like a garment. I remember I had a suit in Rome. It was a Montgomery Ward. Remember Montgomery Ward? I bought this suit at Montgomery Ward. It was like $60. It's like I had a brown suit with some patterns. And it was a nice suit, you know, for a $60 suit. But that thing over time was made so cheap. It had rips in the inseam. It had rips on the armpits. We had like spools of thread holding that thing together. Patches. We patched it, the inside, the iron, the inside patches. We were so broke. But you know what? We worked with it. And I remember one day I had a meeting. I had a little business, and I had a meeting with an architect in a penthouse up in Syracuse. And it was a party. And I got on the elevator to go up to the penthouse, and I'm sitting there with my Herman Munster Montgomery Ward suit. The shoulders were, you know, looked like an idiot. And I'm in this. And all these people getting on there with Armani's and these women, tall, beautiful dresses, nice cologne, all this stuff. And I'm in there, I'm thinking, I look like such a goofball. and I get off, the elevator doors open, and I walk into this, like a movie scene, like in a penthouse. It goes down, and there's a living room, and people are drinking, and music is playing, and people are laughing, and other music is playing, and it's all gone. And there's a couch over on the right. So I come in there, the architect who invited me comes over, thanks me for coming, because I saved his bacon. I fixed a leak in the money parking garage. And so I sit down in this chair, and there's this guy sitting next to me and two women across me, and they're all dressed to the nines, you know. I cross my leg like this. I look down. I got a brown sock and a blue sock. And the lady catches my eye, and I say, "That's okay. I go by thickness." But God doesn't change. God is not a man. That has nothing to do with this morning's message. Just one of those, off you go. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variation or variableness or changing or shadow of turning. God is unchanging. God is eternal. God is unchanging. The way he deals with people, that changes. That changes throughout the scriptures. We call that dispensationalism. That changes over time. That's why we're not sacrificing animals today. It's changing. That part of it changes. And God's revelation of who he is progressive. And we've talked a little bit about this. We know more about God now than Adam did. Right? And Abraham knew a little more than Noah. And David knew a little more than Abraham. And Paul knew a little bit more than, you know, a lot of people, probably everybody, you know. But it's the revelation is progressive. But did God change? No. He's always been the same. He's always been triune. He's always been the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. He's always, even before the incarnation, he was the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. He's a triune God. He's unchanging. God's unchanging character gives you and I stability. Because life is full of uncertainty. Jobs change. Your health changes. Your family members can get sick and be in pain and sometimes leave us. But God doesn't change. What he said yesterday is true today. What he said 5 years ago is true today. What he said 1,000 years ago is true today. He is unchanging. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord, I don't change. And since he never changes, we can build our foundation, the foundation of our life on him. You know, you can't build your life on anything other than God. You want to build your life on your money? That'll change. You want to build your life on a human being? That'll change. You want to build your life on anything other than Jesus Christ? You're going to have an issue. Matter of fact, in Matthew 7, he gives this illustration. He said, hearing my words and doing them is like the person who builds his house on a rock. What happens? The rains fall, the storms rise, and the winds come and blow on that house. And let me tell you, we've seen some rainstorms and some bad ones and some hurricanes come into our lives. But if we don't build our life on Christ and the foundational truth that who he is, it's like you built your house in the sand. How many of you want to buy a house or for sale, you drive by, it's on the sand? Just wood sitting on sand. Here's the floor made of wood. Here's the walls. Here's the roof. Here's the sand. There's a river nearby, and they say sometimes it rises. You going to buy that house? What if it's a steel? I don't want it. Why? Because when the rain comes and the storms rise and the winds blow, goodbye house. Yet people, including Christians, will build their lives on principles outside of the Word of God. Will you build your finances outside of the Word of God? Will you build your relationships? Let me ask you a question. Is it wise for an unsaved, or for a Christian man to marry an unsaved woman when the Bible says don't be unequally yoked? Is that wise? How about have a business partner who's not a believer? You're going to enter into a deep business relationship with someone who's not a believer. Don't be unequally yoked. Just one principle. There's thousands of them. But there's one. So the Bible lays out principles. I have a book in my office that I've been given to business people. It's a book by Larry Burkett, and it's called Business by the Book. And I gave it last week. We had a thing at the office, and one of the guys who got it was exactly who I would love to read it. And he took it. He said, I'm going to read it. I said, I hope you do, because there's some really great principles in there. Business by the Book. If you want a business and you've never read Business by the Book, you need to get it. Let me know if you want it. I'll give you a copy of it if you have a business. But build your business on that. Build your life on Christ. Build your family on the principles of the Bible. A lot of parents don't do that. They don't raise their children on biblical principles. They don't run they don't manage their schedule with biblical principles. You know, the Bible's loaded with all kinds of guidance. How many of you have ever peeked in the book of Proverbs? You ever look in there? Aren't there a few principles in there? There's a couple in there, right? For you to build your life on? Wow. But, you know, people decide just going to ignore that stuff. Well, here comes the rain. Here comes the storm. And the house gets washed away. Oof, gone. Everything they have, gone. Well, why did that happen? Geez, I wonder why these horrible things are happening to me. You know what? Horrible things are going to happen to you. How many of you came to church to get encouraged today? Raise your hand. Good. Let me encourage you. Horrible things are going to happen to you. How many have had horrible things happen to them? Raise your hand. Look around. Look around. Every hand went up. Horrible things are going to happen to you. You better build your house on a rock, on the unchanging principles of the Word of God. Because trials are coming. Now, how many of you are in a tough spot right now? Let me encourage you. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. You'll get through it. This too shall pass. And then another horrible thing's going to happen to you. Why? Because we're in this life. And by the way, what happens at the end? How many of us are going to die? Raise your hand. Physically. Yes. How many of you how many of you were born? Raise your hand. Okay. So I had a conversation with someone in my office this week. And I said to them, I said, isn't it interesting that everyone dies? Because she was talking about as you get older, more people you know die. I wonder why that is. Because you're getting old. All right. So she said that. And then I said, but some people don't just die once. They die twice. She said, what? I said, yeah, they die physically, and then when they face God, if they don't have Christ, they die again because they're separated from God for eternity. So they die twice. I said, how many times were you born? She said, once. I said, I was born twice. She said, what? I said, well, when you're born physically, you're born apart from God, and then you receive Jesus and you're born again. That's what the Bible talks about, being born again. So you get two births. You get a new birth, which is a new life. And then I told her, I said, so? I'd rather be born twice and die once than be born once and die twice. And she looked very confused. So I said, repeat that back to me. My wife was standing there. She said, repeat it back to me. Tony says, I'd rather be born twice and die once than be born once and die twice. I've got it. That also has nothing to do with this morning's message. But it has everything to do with building your life on something that doesn't change. Right? Because life is going to throw a lot at you. The only encouragement I have in my life is the fact that God's love for me doesn't change. God's grace for me doesn't change. God's thoughts for me never changes. God's will for me never changes. God's timing never changes. It's amazing. God never changes. Life changes. I change. But God never changes. Lamentations 3:23 says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning." Lamentations 3:22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never changes. It never, say it, never changes. Jeremiah 31, "I've loved you with an everlasting love." I don't know. I couldn't get through anything without His love. How are you going to handle life without the love of God? When you face things all by yourself, there's nobody else around. By the way, I don't care if you've got a house full of people. You're going to face certain things alone. Hello? You can be in a... That's why the world experiences loneliness. Listen, there's 9 million... How many million of people we got in the world? Who knows? A lot. 7 million now? Used to be like 5, now it's 7. People keep making babies. It's amazing. And yet people are lonely. People feel lonely. They feel disconnected. They don't connect with... God connects. To be connected to God through Christ is where we find meaning and purpose and understanding of who we are, what we are, why we're here, where we're going, what we're supposed to do now. You can't build your life on anything other than that. You're going to guess at why you're here? I don't know why I'm here. I asked somebody once, probably a month ago, we're talking about this deep conversation. I said, "Can I ask you a question?" He said, "I said, why are you here?" He said, "You mean in the restaurant?" I said, no. "Why are you here on earth?" "I was born." I said, "Why?" He looked at me. "So I don't know." I said, "You better find out." And then I talked a little bit. I didn't tell him either, because I like asking people questions and making them suffer. Given a little mental anguish. You know why? Because until you work that on in your own brain, it really doesn't mean anything to you. I could tell him, "You're here because God made you and has a plan for your life." And he's going right over his head. I want him to struggle and pray and think. "Why are you here?" I don't know. "What are you supposed to do?" "I think I'm supposed to do..." What drives most people to what they do? Money. What else drives people? Power. What else drives people? Pleasure. Prestige, right? Are those things? No. We don't even need to say it. Those things are the worst things to motivate you to what to do. People do it that way because their life is built on something other than the unchanging God. His love and mercy never run out. And no matter what we've done, hello, His grace is constant. No matter what you've done. I don't care what you've done. There was a song, I think Don Francisco wrote it, "I Don't Care Where You've Been Sleeping." And it's literally about somebody who is living a promiscuous lifestyle who comes and asks him about Christ. And he literally says to this person, "I don't care where you've been sleeping. I know that God knows who you are, and God loves you, and He made you, and He wants you." Yep. Hebrews 4:16 says that we have a throne of grace that we go to, not a throne of judgment. You see those movies where they take you in and throw you in front of the king, right on the floor, right in front of the throne, and the king... King's got to make a decision whether he's going to kill you or lock you up or let you go. We have a throne that's characterized by grace. And God says, come there boldly in time of need and get help. Does that ever change? Does God have mood swings? Does He? He doesn't have mood swings, right? One day God's love, kind and cares about you. "You're my little one. You're my little beloved." And the next day, "Get away from me." No, that's your husband. That's not God. God is not a man that he should have mood swings. Right? Or a woman that she should have an occasional mood swing. That's good, wasn't it? That's called almost 35 years of marriage, buddy. God's unchanging character gives us stability. God's promises are always true. His love and mercy never run out, and His unchanging nature secures our salvation. That's why when you become a believer, that never changes. Now, you might get stupid. Oh, here, by the way, do you know any Christians who never got stupid? Come on now. Do you know any Christian who, once they got saved, had it all together and never blew it? Yeah. No, I don't know any. Certainly not in this room. We're all what? Weak, sinners, knuckleheads. What do you say? Like you two. I love that. I just feel like I can automatically pick on you. I don't know why that is. They'll never be back. They come with it. This guy just came right out and started hammering us. We're guests. Should be treated with respect. Not here. Wrong place. No, it's not. Let me get your names. What are your names?
Zayden.
Emma and what?
Zayden. Like Caden with a Z.
Zayden?
Yep.
All right. I'll tell you a story later about another name. I had a really funny incident happen. I'll tell you about it. Zayden and Emma. Everyone say hi to Zayden and Emma.
Hi.
Okay. Now I know they won't be back. Where was I? I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, grace never changes, right? And what happens when a believer gets dumb, makes bad decisions? What does God do? Come on, folks. What does God do? What's that, Kathy? Isn't that nice? What else does He do? Then what does He do when you're when you're really acting like a knucklehead? He corrects us. I love how you said that with your teeth clenched. He corrects us. But why does He correct us? He corrects us because He loves us. You know? You know what the Bible says? The Lord chastens those He loves. So you don't have to worry about, you know, well, that person's starting to become sinful. You know, he's becoming sinful. He was sinful. You know, the stuff that's in your heart just comes out over time. And you might be surprised, and the people around you might be surprised, but it doesn't shock God one bit. Let me ask a question of someone. Karen. For example, Karen over here. Karen, what year did you become a Christian? That's awesome. 2017. And did somebody share the gospel with you?
Yeah.
Who?
The pastor at the church
I was at. Yeah, every now and then you meet one of those guys that knows what they're talking about. That's great. He led you to Christ. Okay, so April 2017. Have you sinned since then at all? So on April 1st, 2017, did God know you were going to sin after that? Did He save you anyway? Thank you. Thank you. This idea that people can lose their salvation, I don't know where this comes from. I think it's the dumbest thing. It's just, it makes no sense to me at all. Casey, what year did you get saved? 1995. Do you remember the circumstances to that? That's right. I remember you talking about that. 1995? There's a lot of space between 1995 and now. I'm not even going to ask you if you've sinned. So the point is that, you know, listen, I became a Christian in May of 1980. God knew what was going to happen after all those years, and He saved me anyway. That make sense? So His love never changes. See, He's unchanging. And one of the reasons He's unchanging is because He's omniscient. He knows the end from the beginning and makes choices in time anyway, knowing all that. But he never changes. So that ought to give us such stability and encouragement and hope. God's thoughts towards you will never, ever, ever, ever change. Another thing, in Hebrews 11, Hebrews 7:25, sorry, I will never, never, ever, never, ever leave you. God is committed to you. More than any other person in your life, there's nobody more committed to you. You may think they are. They can't be. Why? Because they are men or women, and they just don't have what God has. God is not a man that he should break his promises or lie. So God loves you more than anybody. He's more committed to you than anybody, and he's more trustworthy than anybody. And if you build your life on the things God tells you to build your life on, when those things that will inevitably come your way, you'll stand them. They'll hurt. Listen, it's a process. You're going to hurt. Some of this stuff just is awful. It's awful. But you'll bear it. God will bear you up in it. You build your life in him. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time today. We pray you bless our fellowship that follows in the front. Anybody that's got questions can ask them. Talk about how good you are. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless us as we're dismissed here. We're going to have the music team come back up. We're going to sing one of those songs again.